Hi, and welcome to today's reading of the New York Times. I'm Chet Bukowski, and we'll start with a front-page article from the Monday, July 15th, 2024, headlined, Biden asks America to lower the temperature after Trump shooting. The president spoke from the Oval Office in a primetime address saying, quote, "We can't allow this violence to be normalized." President Biden said in a primetime Oval Office address on Sunday that the nation needed to, quote, lower the temperature in our politics, end quote, saying that he deplored the attempted assassination of former President Donald J. Trump and feared for the direction of the country's politics. Quote, "We cannot, we must not go down this road in America," end quote, he said, using the backdrop of the office for only the third time in his presidency. Quote, "There is no place in America for this kind of violence, for any violence, ever. Period. No exceptions. We can't allow this violence to be normalized." End quote. The president's six-minute speech, delivered from behind the Resolute desk, which has been used by almost every president since Rutherford B. Hayes in 1880, came just the day before Mr. Trump is set to attend his party's nominating convention in Milwaukee. Republicans said the convention would proceed as planned, and Mr. Trump flew to Milwaukee on Sunday afternoon, vowing to remain, quote, "defiant in the face of wickedness," end quote. In his short speech, Mr. Biden said he would continue making his case for another four-year term, ignoring the calls from some in his own party to step aside. He said he expected Mr. Trump and his allies to attack his record during the convention, but he urged Americans in both parties to step back from a politics of hate and division that leads to violence. Quote, "We debate and disagree," end quote, he said. Quote, "We compare and contrast the character of the candidates, the records, the issues, the agenda, the vision for America. But in America, we resolve our differences at the ballot box," end quote. The shooting at a Trump campaign rally on Saturday evening in Butler County, Pennsylvania, upended what had already become a chaotic presidential contest, with Mr. Biden waging a fierce intra-party battle to remain the Democratic nominee because of his poor debate performance last month. For weeks, the president and his campaign have struggled to shift the attention back to the former president. The assassination attempt did just that, but in the process raised disturbing questions about the deeply rooted anger and divisions in the country. And it underscored the willingness by some to resort to violence instead of the ballot box to resolve those differences. It also raised serious security issues for those responsible for protecting the nation's political leaders, including how the Secret Service could have allowed the gunmen to get close enough to fire shots that came within inches of killing the former president. Mr. Biden's campaign has pulled down its political ads and canceled political travel by the president and the vice president that had been scheduled for the beginning of the week, although Mr. Biden is still scheduled to be interviewed by Lester Holt of NBC News on Monday. A Biden campaign official said that the Democratic National Committee and the president's campaign were expecting to get back to the business of running against Mr. Trump by Tuesday, holding political events and drawing what the official called the contrast between the president's records and Mr. Trump's, quote, "backward-looking agenda," end quote. Earlier on Sunday, in afternoon remarks from the Roosevelt Room in the White House, Mr. Biden said that he had a, quote, "short but good conversation," end quote, with Mr. Trump on Saturday night after the shooting, but did not elaborate. Quote, "I'm sincerely grateful that he's doing well and recovering," end quote, Mr. Biden said. Quote, "Jill and I are keeping him and his family in our prayers." Mr. Biden also called on Americans to, quote, "unite as one nation," unquote, and vowed that the federal government would conduct a, quote, "thorough and swift," end quote, investigation into the gunman's motives and an independent review of security at the rally. Mr. Biden said on Sunday that he had ordered a national security review of what happened at Mr. Trump's rally and promised to share the results with the American people. He also said he had directed the Secret Service to review security arrangements for the Republican convention and pledged that the agency would give Mr. Trump, quote, every resource, capability, and protective measure necessary to ensure his continued safety. Flanked by Vice President Kamala Harris and Attorney General Merrick B. Garland for his afternoon remarks, Mr. Biden offered his, quote, deepest condolences, end quote, to the family of a man at Mr. Trump's rally who was killed by the gunman, calling him, quote, a father who was protecting his family from the bullets that were being fired, end quote. He said he was praying for those injured to make a full recovery. The president provided few details about the investigation into how the gunman carried out the attack, which, in addition to killing a spectator, also critically wounded two others. Quote, the FBI is leading this investigation, which is still in its early stages, end quote, the president said. We don't yet have any information about the motive of the shooter. We know who he is. I urge everyone, please don't make assumptions about his motives or his affiliations. Let the FBI do their job. In the meantime, White House aides and campaign officials canceled events on Monday, but said the president would move ahead with several planned events in the coming days. A speech planned for Monday at the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library in Austin, Texas, was postponed for a week, and a fundraiser in the city will not take place, aides said. Ms. Harris postponed a campaign stop planned for Tuesday in Palm Beach County, Florida, where she had planned to address abortion, according to two people with knowledge of her plans. But Mr. Biden's interview with Mr. Holt will take place at the White House rather than in Austin. And the White House said that Mr. Biden would keep his campaign events in Las Vegas. Mr. Biden will speak at an NAACP conference on Tuesday and a UNIDOS U.S. conference on Wednesday, even as Mr. Trump and his party hold the Republican convention in Milwaukee. In both sets of remarks on Sunday, Mr. Biden made a plea that, if recent history is any guide, seemed unlikely to be heeded by activists on either side of the nation's increasingly bitter divide. Quote, we need to get out of our silos, end quote, he said. Quote, where we only listen to those with whom we agree, where misinformation is rampant, where foreign actors fan the flames of our division to shape the outcomes consistent with their interests, not ours. We can do this, he said. The headline of the next article I'm going to read is, here's what is known about the suspect who tried to assassinate Trump. Authorities identified the gunman as 20-year-old man from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, a town about an hour's drive from the site of the shooting. He was interested in chess and coding and had recently received an associate's degree in engineering science. High school classmates remembered him as an intelligent student who had few friends, but who never exhibited any glaring red flags. The nursing home where he had a job helping with meals said his work gave its staff no reason for concern. And in an era when other people his age put troves of personal information online, Thomas Matthew Crooks, age 20, left few clues about who he was, what he believed, or why he decided to drive to a Trump rally in western Pennsylvania on Saturday and try to assassinate the former president. On Sunday, federal investigators said a gunman they identified as Mr. Crooks had used an AR-15-style rifle purchased by his father to open fire from a rooftop outside the rally where the former president, Donald J. Trump, was speaking. In a series of new details, FBI officials said they were investigating the incident as a possible case of domestic terrorism, and that the gunman had left behind explosive materials in the vehicle he drove to the event. But many other details of Mr. Crook's life and motives of were still unclear. Federal authorities said he had no apparent history of mental health issues or previous threats, and had not been on the radar of federal law enforcement. Investigators were scouring his online presence and working to gain access to his phone, but so far had not found indications of strongly held political beliefs. In fact, the clues he left behind were confusing. He was a registered Republican, but had also donated to a progressive cause in 2021. His parents were registered as a Democrat and Libertarian. Mr. Crooks was shot and killed by Secret Service agents moments after he began firing, killing a spectator, seriously wounding two others, and leaving Mr. Trump with an injury to his ear. Kevin P. Rojek, the FBI official in Pittsburgh who is leading the investigation, said Mr. Crooks is believed to have acted alone and that there were no additional public safety concerns. Attorney General Merrick Garland said that the shooting was, quote, an attack on our democracy, unquote, and that federal authorities would use every available resource to investigate the gunman. Mr. Crooks grew up in the relatively affluent suburb of Bethel Park in the South Hills region of Pittsburgh, about an hour's drive from the site of the rally. His parents are both licensed counselors, according to Pennsylvania records. His father worked at a local behavioral health provider, according to his LinkedIn profile. The neighborhood where the family lives is, quote, pretty firmly middle class, maybe upper middle class, end quote, Dan Grisbeck, who represents the area and the county council, said in an interview on Sunday. Mr. Grisbeck briefly met the gunman's parents last year when he was canvassing for his run. He did not recall the exact conversation, but he remembered they seemed pleasant and were open to hear his platform. He said it was not unusual to have families in which different members had different political beliefs. Just 2 months ago, Mr. Crooks graduated from the Community College of Allegheny County with an associate degree in engineering science, a school official said. Mr. Crooks had been working as a dietary aide at Bethel Park Skilled Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Marcy Grimm, the facility's administrator, said the organization was shocked to learn of his involvement in the shooting, saying that he had, quote, performed his job without concern and his background check was clean, end quote. She declined to discuss further specifics of his employment, saying that center officials were cooperating with law enforcement investigators. According to a federal law enforcement official, dozens of FBI agents and analysts, evidence technicians from multiple divisions have gathered to work the case. The FBI was trying to break into the gunman's cell phone with court approval to learn more about his plans and motive. President Biden said on Sunday that officials had not identified a motive. The FBI has not found a manifesto, and Mr. Crooks had never been under FBI investigation. The official confirmed that he did not have an unusual online history for a 20-year-old man. He liked to play chess, video games, and was learning how to code, according to a review of his online activities. He did not appear to have a public profile on major social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. The messaging platform Discord said it had found an account apparently linked to the gunman, but the company said that, quote, it was rarely utilized and we have found no evidence that it was used to plan this incident or discuss his political views, close quote. Two former classmates who attended Bethel Park High School with the gunman said they had not noticed any obvious warning signs. One of the classmates, Zach Bradford, said he had taken American history and government classes with him, that Mr. Crooks appeared to be, quote, incredibly intelligent, end quote, and that his views in high school seemed to be, quote, slightly right-leaning, end quote. Mr. Bradford said he remembered a couple of instances in which classmates gave Mr. Crooks a hard time, but he was shocked when he heard that Mr. Crooks had been identified as the shooter. The Bethel Park School District confirmed that Mr. Crooks graduated from Bethel Park High School in 2022. And said it was cooperating with law enforcement, but it did not provide any additional details about the gunman's time as a student. He was one of 20 students awarded a $500 prize for math and science that year, according to local news reports, and in April 2022 appeared in a video on the school's Facebook page, perched over a laptop as he explained coding to another student. An AR-15-type semi-automatic rifle was found next to Mr. Crook's body. Investigators said on Sunday that while the weapon had been purchased by the gunman's father, they did not know how the gunman took possession of it or whether he had used it without his father's knowledge. Mr. Rojek of the FBI said the gunman's family was cooperating with the investigation. Law enforcement officials found materials for two explosive devices in Mr. Crook's car and believed they may have found a third at his residence, according to a person with knowledge of the investigation. On Sunday, a clue emerged as to how Mr. Crooks may have trained in the use of firearms. The Clareton Sportsman Club, a wooded facility south of Pittsburgh that features a 200-yard rifle range, confirmed that Mr. Crooks had been a member. Quote, "The club is unable to make any additional commentary in relation to this matter in light of pending law enforcement investigation," the club said in a statement released by its legal counsel, Robert Boutet, expressing sympathy for the Camp family of Corey Comparatore, a spectator who was killed. Former FBI officials said the Bureau's Behavior Analysis Unit would try to build out a profile of the gunman to understand his motivations. The FBI, which is running the investigation, will cast a wide net, interviewing friends and family members and searching for clues he might have left online or in a journal. The gunman did not have a criminal history reflected in Pennsylvania's public court records. A voter registration record listed Mr. Crooks as a registered Republican, though federal campaign finance records show he donated $15 to the Progressive Turnout Project, a liberal voter turnout group, through the Democratic donation platform Act Blue in January 2021. Law enforcement officers closed down all roads leading toward the home of the suspect's family in Bethel Park. Numerous relatives did not respond to messages seeking comment. Mr. Grisbeck, who lives about a half mile down the same street as the gunman's family, said the area was in shock. Quote, "Most people just can't believe this has happened in our neighborhood," unquote, he said. Quote, "I typically walk my dogs every morning, and the number of people that I've seen walking through our street, just driving down and just stopping to take video and pictures, I think is pretty remarkable," end quote. And now, let's turn to today's Metro section. The headline of the first article I'm going to read is, This street was clogged with traffic. Now it belongs to Ping Pong. A neighborhood in Queens, New York, turned 1.3 miles of a regular road into an open street for pedestrians, cyclists, and playing children, with aims to make some of it into a park. Jackson Heights, Queens, has been called, quote, "the most culturally diverse neighborhood in New York, if not on the planet," end quote. It is also a neighborhood with some of the least green space in New York. On Roosevelt Avenue, the elevated subway line rattles above a steady stream of car traffic. Storefronts and push carts on the narrow, bustling sidewalks offer all kinds of food: Thai, Chinese, Mexican, Himalayan, Indian, Colombian, Guatemalan, Ecuadorian, Peruvian, and more. But it's tough to find any calm. Yet just three blocks north, running parallel to Roosevelt, is 34th Avenue, where a stretch of 26 blocks, running east to west, has been closed to cars from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day since 2020. That's 1.3 miles of space. And on a recent Friday, it was being used in a variety of ways. At 93rd Street and 34th Avenue, in front of PS 149, an elementary school, children played chess and ping pong. A few more splashed in a kiddie pool. On 90th Street, older people were sitting at small tables, socializing. On the other side of the median, a woman pushed a man in a wheelchair. Block after block, people were enjoying the street. Children ran through the spray of a fire hydrant sprinkler. Two girls had set up a lemonade stand. A woman tended to a garden in the median of the avenue. In front of another school, on 74th Street, Four teenagers drifted by on bicycles as a man at a folding table read a newspaper in the shade. To cycle down this avenue, it is closed to cars all the way to 69th Street, is to experience a rare, uninterrupted stretch of peace in New York. And although it is nearly impossible to please everyone, drivers, pedestrians, cyclists, seniors, children, the open street is a bold experiment for New York City that seems largely to be working. It is perhaps a model to be replicated elsewhere. The 34th Avenue Open Street Coalition formed in May 2020 in a neighborhood that was hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, "Everything was locked down," said Jim Burke, the group's co-founder. Quote, "Our whole neighborhood, including me, we all had COVID before it was fashionable." Bridget Bartolini, a Queens native who lives along the route, said in these early days, the open street was a symbol of optimism. Quote, "It felt like there was so much potential," she said. "Some people, myself included, were very hopeful that some good was going to come out of this terrible, terrible pandemic that we were living through. Like maybe our streets could be more people-centered and the community can come together more." Bartolini was so inspired by 34th Avenue that she created an oral history project based on the open street and the ways her neighbors were using it. There are 7 public schools, either on the street or less than a block away. Quote, "We have 7,000 kids who use the corridor to go back and forth to school during the senior year," Burke said. Quote, "Our main goal is to make sure those kids get back and forth to school safely." Of course, the 34th Avenue open street has had its critics. More than 700 people signed a 2021 petition titled, "Halt 34th Avenue Open Street, Reclaim Our Neighborhood." Another 1,200 people signed a 2021 petition asking to find some middle ground. Quote, "Our group is not against open streets. What we want is a compromise," end quote, the petition reads. It called for 34th Avenue to be closed to traffic for fewer hours of the day and for fewer blocks. It complained about noise. The headline of the next article I'm going to read is, "A New York official is filling community boards with pro-housing members." New York City community boards are known for rejecting development. In Manhattan, one politician is revamping them with appointees who say they are committed to easing the housing crisis. Solutions to the housing crisis often face a small but mighty roadblock. Local residents tend to resist more development in their neighborhoods, and they typically have clout. This has often been true in New York City, where groups of activists and civic leaders sitting on 59 community boards have earned a reputation for saying no to new housing. Now, Mark Levine, the borough president of Manhattan, is trying to flip that narrative. He is using his power to appoint board members who are amenable to change and to replace those who would stand in the way. Of the more than 100 people he has appointed or reappointed, he characterized more than 80% as pro-housing, as determined by a questionnaire he gives them before they are chosen. His efforts have been contentious, with opponents accusing him of capitulating to the real estate industry, but his practices may already be having an effect. Quote, "Community boards have an extremely important voice," unquote, Mr. Levine said. And quote, "In my office, this is an area where I have some direct levers to pull." Mr. Levine's push is yet another indicator of how a crushing housing crisis is reshaping New York City politics. A recent survey indicated that the city's shortage is the worst it has been in half a century, fueling a rise in the cost of living that could push rents to break records again this summer. Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul have both backed major proposals to make it easier to build homes, the sort of ideas that have drawn opposition from community boards in the past. But on Monday, the chairs of Manhattan's community boards voted to support some key parts of the mayor's effort. Community boards do not have any explicit power to reject development proposals, but they usually must be consulted. Their opinions, seen as a proxy for how voters might feel about a project, can influence the city council members who do have the power to approve or reject the proposals. Critics of the boards say members are not actually representative of the public. They do not always reflect their neighborhood's racial and ethnic diversity, and homeowners and older people tend to be overrepresented. Mr. Levine appointed Tabita Kaniye, a banker, to a community board representing parts of the Upper West Side in 2022. To get the position, Mr. Kaniye said he had to write an essay and sit for an interview in which he proved his pro-housing bona fides. Mr. Kaniye, who had worked on financing affordable housing projects in the past, said his main motivation for joining the board was to help fix the housing crisis in the city, which he mentioned during his interview. The efforts to flip community boards have not come without controversy, particularly in Midtown, where development projects around Penn Station and at a Chelsea public housing complex are drawing public scrutiny. Several members of the local community board resigned, criticizing the influence of special interests because some newer board members are affiliated with Open New York. After they resigned, an Open New York employee became the board's chair. And that's all we have time for today. I'm Chet Bukowski, and I've been reading from the Monday, July 15th, 2024 edition of the New York Times.